Good morning, everybody.
Hello there.
This is Fascism Friday, everyone's favorite day of the week.
Everyone's favorite day.
It's December 11th, 2020, and this is episode 136 of Transmission. And as we have been doing for a few months now, like, we designate Friday Fascism Friday, but as you know, we don't limit our anti-fash talk to Fridays. It's just we are especially committed on Fridays. That's kind of how that works, because every day is Fascism Friday.
Every day in our disease-ridden, failed state is Fascism Friday.
Our festering fascist, I got to think of more alliterations, federal.
Yeah.
Anyways. yeah, so today we're talking about sex and fascism.
Right. And but first we should introduce ourselves.
Oh, sure. My name is Mark Van Stunwyck. I'm the director for the Center for Prophetic Imagination.
Yeah, and I'm Daniel Wolpert. I direct MICA, the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing. And I don't know, just because we've had a lot of viewers this week and we're talking about sex, maybe we should say, if you want to donate some money to
sex sells.
That's right. Yeah, if you want to donate some money to keep transmission going, we'd appreciate that. It's getting to be the Christmas season. You can give us a little Christmas present. Mm-hmm. And you can donate at the MICA website, CPI website. Send us a message asking for our email, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
you can figure it out. So we've gone 136 episodes without having a sort of overt episode with sex in the title. I don't think we've had a previous one.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, we've brought in sexualized, like, patriarchy and things around gender and things like that.
Yeah, we've talked
specifically the sort of more. You know, this is, you know, for people who saw the image, like, I was trying so hard to come up with news that wouldn't kind of evoke, like, misunderstanding. And so in the end, I just went like, well, I'm just going to have the word fascism and sex. That's probably compelling enough by itself. But I'd want to kind of make a slight disclaimer first, because this is interesting. Like, so, yes, I think it's the clan hoods in the image yesterday brought a lot of trolls out on YouTube, and some of you leave their comments and some I did not. But a lot of people were just kind of like, you know, this is untenable. Like, that kind of, I spent like 10 minutes and I had to, like, walk away disgusted. But one of the things that kind of came up is like, how dare you talk about racism? You are two white men. As though, you know, I can't remember who told me this, but, like, if white men can't talk about white supremacy, then who can?
Really? Yeah. So people are saying that? I missed all these great comments.
Yeah, we have to. And so, like, yes, Dan and I are both white, middle class, cisgendered men in heterosexual marriage relationships and all the things.
Christian, all the things.
Yes. And we're not speaking about this from the place of, like, some sort of vast moral support superiority. It's just, we have to talk about this stuff. And white men have to talk about this stuff more than anybody else, but in a way, in a place of humility, which is, we get snarky. We maybe insert some opinions with more boldness than we should sometimes. But generally, we're approaching with humility, trying to take what we've learned and talk about it, even if it's awkward for two middle-aged white guys to talk about something like sex and sexualized violence, or it might be strange to hear us talk about it. We're going to talk about it because we have to. So what, like,
yeah,
I'm talk about it. Like, how does that help anything? So it's just funny that it's usually a conservative critique. How can
I'm very confused. I'm finding myself in a state of confusion. I mean, if the perpetrators of all of this don't talk about it, how is it going to get better? I don't understand.
There's a conservative antipathy towards this sort of thing. But then also, like, I've been in progressive and left spaces that, like, you know, you do want to follow the leadership of people who are experiencing the oppression. And so like some sort of us taking some sort of leadershipy role, but that's not really what it's trying to be about.
No, so
about having conversation on Facebook, and you can tell we're not rolling in like the advertising dollars. This isn't some sort of proposition for us. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah. See, actually, what I've heard very consistently in progressive spaces is that white people are the ones that have to fix racism.
Yeah, we have to do the work.
As I said, I'm confused. But that's all right. I'm confused a lot. Anyway, this episode kind of got going because for some reason I started seeing all these memes, which I wasn't aware of because I, you know, live in sort of some strange isolated bubble, I guess, that there are all these memes out there about AOC. Mm-hmm. These wild, like, sexualized bondage memes and stuff about her,
but not in a good way.
No, not in a good way.
Like, because I've seen,
I don't know.
I mean, I know. Well, I've seen some stuff that shows like a fierce kind of Wonder Woman aspect to AOC, where she's kicking ass, and there can be some like images with that that have a dominatrix vibe. Like some of that can be kind of interesting and cool, but this is like more like I'm afraid of her and she's terrible, but look how she is.
Right. Like, yeah.
Sort of, should I just put up this?
Yes. Yes. Go for it. This one is incredible.
No, it's like there's, I can't tell how much irony is, like how reflective people are when they create or share this. So it says, if we ever let AOC become president, she will walk into her inauguration by stepping on each of her political opponents. So far, so good. Radicals like her have no respect for our institutions. Also, I'm not seeing the trouble. She will not reach across the aisle. Fine. She'll completely dismiss and humiliate the right and even centrists. And here is like,
she's stomping on her high with her high heels.
Queen of the Amazon stock, stepping over these subjugated, pasty white politician men.
Yeah, yeah. So it, you know, this is this kind of very interesting, sort of highly sexualized, but also, you know, both fear-based and then also kind of excited mix that goes along with fascism is actually quite common, right? Yes. And authoritarian governments often have this very weird sexualized vibe that it's clear that they're both really excited and also sort of terrified. There's this interesting kind of suppression and oppression and repression that goes along with all of this. And, you know, and this notion that, I mean, you know, I have this image, right, of all these like right-wing white guys, you know, looking at AOC, who is a very beautiful young woman. You know, on the one hand, right, they're like incredibly excited and I'm sure attracted to her. And then it's like, it's terrifying, right? And, you know, and of course, in our country, this also goes all the way back to all of the sexualized violence that happened with slavery, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, here you have all these white slave owners in the mansions, you know, heading back to the slave quarters at night, and, you know, essentially an institutionalized rape culture. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is very much a part of the whole right wing world. And I think it's really important to look at that and to say, you know, what's going on and what has happened in terms of our incredible distortions about sexuality and our inability to relate to sexuality in any kind of a positive or healthy way.
You know, and this is, I remember being a young fundamentalist conservative And I, when I'd hear people say things like rape is about power, I'd be like, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand. Like, isn't rape just about sex? Like, I'd have just the idea of linking sex and power didn't make any sense to me because I didn't have an imagination for like how that works. And so I wonder, I think about that sometimes when I see things like this, like how aware they are of how blurry it gets. Because the whole fascist thing, like one facet of fascism, because fascism is a very fluid and hard to pin down term, has to do about really believing that there's a strict hierarchy baked into the nature of things. And that if someone kind of steps out of it or is contaminating it, then you can basically objectify and ridicule them. And that this sort of like, there's this double whammy going on. There's layers going on with memes like this. One,
a lot of layers.
There's fear. Two, there's sexual like transgressiveness, like something is alluring. It's kind of a that sort of thing that's tied with her being powerful, makes her more fearful, more afraid of her, and she's more sexy at the same time. And that's just kind of like authoritarian projection going on. But then there's also this need to like just objectify her, turn her into a ridicule. And so a lot of the stuff where she has a lot of power and she's subjugating white men, it's often in the same vein as showing how stupid she is, which is the most bizarre one to me, because most of these dudes that are in like high office that have been wealthy their whole life didn't get this because they're smart. There's a lot of dumbasses in the House and Senate, right? Because they're powerful white men. They don't have to try. AOC had to try hard. And she was very intelligent.
Yeah, I mean, she's
very articulate. She knows what she's talking about. And she does, she researches it and talks to people who know stuff. Like, it's this is known that she is a very inquisitive person who will tap scholars to find out about stuff, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, she's very often the smartest person in the room. <It's>,
but the need to make her seem like humiliated and stupid and sexualized, this is about power. This is about maintaining the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And this is what I don't think a lot of people get. That is, again, evangelicalism in this country leans towards this sort of maintenance of this hierarchy. And so people are like, well, how can you support Trump because he is like vile and a deviant and blah, 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 because he helps him. And he, more than any president in my lifetime, has promised to restore the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And that's what fascism does.
Yeah. Well, and right. And so then, you know, you layer in this mix of, you know, particularly in the evangelical Christian world, right, which is one of the biggest sources of Trump's support. This horribly confused, you know, basically they just don't know what to do with sexuality, right? And it's all about sexuality is bad, right? I love taking the old Bible verse where Jesus says, you know, if you've even thought of lustfully about a woman, you've committed adultery, right? And you know, and so sexuality, which is this absolutely normal, wonderful part of being human, well, of being any kind of you know, biological creature above the level of a bacteria or a fungus, basically. You know, so you've taken this wonderful normal thing and you've turned it into something that's evil, but everybody has it and is thinking about it. And, you know, our basic proclivity is to want to have sex. And so that just generates this massive, I mean, we've mentioned this term several times this week, cognitive dissonance, but it's just this massive confusion and cognitive dissonance then. And it literally sort of makes people kind of insane, because when you exercise that much repression, psychological repression, against something that is so present in your life and in yourself, you have to disconnect from reality to some degree or another. And it's very painful. And then when you project that out, it becomes very damaging and violent.
Some good comments already rolling in. Keep them coming. We're going to try to be good and end more on time. And so we've in the past, just so you know, we've tried to get to every comment, but we're now just more willing just to stop when we need to stop, because it's been, the comments have been coming and they've been so good. Stefan, is that right?
Yep.
I can't read Cyrillic text. Authoritarian and often street violent nationalism and cultural conservatism is a pretty good short definition of fascism. Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gus writes, that meme shows up at least once a month in the Facebook group, threatening us with a good time again.
Okay. Oh, by the way, Gus, I've started that show, Damnation. It's awesome. It's kind of this wild combination of political theater, Arnold Schwarzenegger violence, and soap opera stuff. Yeah, it's really good. Thanks for the recommendation.
Joseph writes, Foxy News. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Ceres writes, the ideas about AOC's leadership is really huge projection on fascist part. For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Kathleen writes, I noticed that many of the Trumpers kept promoting Melanie as a respectable, idealized version of the perfect American woman. Yeah, Melania Trump has been like, that's been fascinating. And again, it shows like the goal isn't like some sort of chaste wholesomeness. It's about performing the proper role. This is where it gets kind of flipped all the time within Christianity. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, we want moral purity, but it's more important to maintain the role. And so she plays the role, even though she doesn't seem like Miss America to people. CK writes, it's predatory behavior. Yes. And I still have vague friends that are like not, that are kind of on the other side of the aisle, particularly of the libertarian sort. And I've talked to them about this. They'll share like very derogatory, mean things about AOC. And then if you push them on, it's like, well, you said that Trump is a racist and an idiot. I'm like, well, yeah, he is those things. But what you see what AOC is not true. And that's not just because I'm biased. It's like, I also get upset. Like I did this yesterday. I got upset because some dude out there, who I'm not going to name to give him, I don't want to give him more energy, posted this meme saying like on January 20th, I'm going to lose 300 pounds, like using fat phobia to make fun of Trump. And a lot of people don't think of that as a big deal, but to me, that's still a form of punching down. So like, I think a lot of people, they just don't get this. They think that somehow mm-hmm. you can say, if you don't like someone and you think if you think socialism is evil, which I don't think that at all, but I can understand how someone would think that therefore it's okay to be sexually violent and make fun of someone's appearance or their ethnicity, and that it's fair game. And I see this mentality also coming from liberals and radicals who want to fat shame Donald Trump. It's a very similar dynamic. Mm-hmm. I have read that those who blur boundaries are candidates for scapegoating, feminist men and masculine women, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, and this is a lot of what is, you know, behind our culture's incredible, you know, this incredible binary rigidity around gender and sexuality, right? I mean, you know, most people's cultures, certainly in the indigenous world, certainly in the ancient world, have always recognized that gender and sexuality is incredibly fluid, and there's an amazing range of this. And, you know, and even within the modern scientific world, I mean, I took a whole course on the genetics of gender, you know, when I was in college. It was a graduate level class, and we were talking about all the different gendered expressions and all the different chromosomal variants, and, you know, this is just kind of a normal thing. Like, this isn't some weird fringe thing. This was at the University of California, Berkeley. It was one of the premier genetics departments in the country. And yet,
Berkeley, they're all a bunch of hippie liberals, though. So.
Yeah, a bunch of hippie liberals and Nobel laureates. But,
damn elitists.
Damn elitists.
They're no Nobel Prize winning.
And you know, and yet our culture, by having this incredibly negative, hostile, fear-based relationship with gender and sexuality. And again, I think this is so connected to racism and to both slavery and genocidal relationships with the native folks, is that, you know, and this whole purity thing that we've talked about, and, you know, you can't have mixed races and all of this. And, it, you know, we don't know what to do with these feelings. Right. I mean, at some level, there really is this bottom line simple thing. Like, if I have a sexual feeling towards somebody, people don't know what to do with that because they're told that it's bad and it's evil. And, you know, it's not okay to talk about. It's not okay to pay attention to. And if I have a sexual feeling about the wrong person, that's really not okay to talk about. And so we just don't know what to do with any of this. And so, yeah, it turns into this social level craziness, right? And a massive amount of harm, harm to individuals, harm to communities, harm to cultures, you know, harm to our political system. And, you know, I think this is just really important to pay attention to. Mm-hmm.
Continuing with series, writes, evangelicals supported Trump-like figures in their communities, such as Mark Driscoll. He's that, and Acts 29 network of hipster patriarchy and heteronormativity. Yeah, and this touches in with this idea of muscular Christianity when you made that Freudian slip and called it masculine Christianity. Right. There was this whole movement like, oh, the church is in decline, there aren't enough men, and so we need to macho up. Let's read Wild at Heart. And
and sit around and
bash. He was a cage fighter and things like that that kind of emphasize the masculinity, but in a very particular. Haley writes, evangelical purity culture and modesty culture is mixed in this conversation too, for sure. It's like this logic that men were made by God with uncontrollable sexual desire, so they somehow. Then somehow women are made responsible for all sexual violence violation against themselves. Yesterday I had to explain to my son what an incel was, because somehow we were talking about, like, we saw some show and there was some sort of like angry man who felt like sex was owed him. And so we had this conversation. He's 12. I wanted him to understand what's out there, especially because he's on the internet. And that's such a perfect metaphor. Like, it's a real sad, frustrating, disturbing trend, but it's also a microcosm of this bigger thing that I think Dan's talking about. Like, I didn't learn proper, good, wholesome, healthy, exploratory sexuality. I very internalized it. And I was one of these people who didn't think that I was somewhat egalitarian. Like, I was a virgin when I got married. So that was my goal. I didn't think it was just on the women. But just internalizing that, it was really messed me up in how to think and relate normally and healthfully with women, and to think about myself as a sexual person. And so, like, you have that mixed in with this idea that if you don't have sex, that there's something wrong with you or someone's depriving you, and you bring in patriarchy and violence, it creates this. It's no wonder there's all kinds of horrific AOC memes out there.
Right. Yeah.
She's the ultimate example of a socio-political incel target.
Mm-hmm.
Who's depriving powerful men of what they deserve and is theirs by right.
Yeah. Well, and then in the fascist context, right, it's then not surprising that sexuality gets turned into this incredibly rigid, incredibly violent, this weird domination theme, because that's just then part of the entire fascist project, right, is that, you know, we can't have difference. We can't have a conversation. You know, and we're seeing it now with this whole thing about the GOP wanting to overturn the election, right? So now it's become we cannot tolerate anything that goes against what we want. I mean, that's the ultimate fascist thing, right? Is it? And that's where the power dynamic comes in. Like, I want something, I cannot tolerate not getting it, and I will do anything to get it.
Yeah, and this is where, again, this other angle of this incel comparison works, because those 17 states and Trump, they think they're being victimized. Right. It's like the incel who engages in sexualized violence towards someone else thinks that they're the ones who have been wronged. Right. It's very toxic, and it's and it really is like not having the same reality. I can't remember who said it yesterday in the comments. It's like we live in two different worlds.
Yeah, I think Tyler did.
Catherine writes, a lot has been written by survivors of the 90s Christian purity culture campaign, True Love Waits, but I think still not enough about how extreme demands like masturbation bans and pure thinking are a highly effective means of authoritarian conditioning. I think that's a good point, Catherine. Giving a religious organization power of our most intimate and private thoughts is a hell of a lot of power.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you get people to internalize an oppressor, you then lay the condition for having an amazing amount of control over people, right? And so as soon as you get the little fascist dictator in your head that is telling you what to do and what not to do, and sort of screaming it at you very effectively, that is not only unbelievably damaging to the person, but then when you've got a lot of those people, you have essentially laid the groundwork for a fascist movement. And, you know, that's what we're seeing, right? I mean, that's what we're seeing playing out right now. And again, you know, we may get through this particular moment. You know, Biden may get into the White House, but this isn't going away. I mean, this is too many people to be going away quickly.
Yeah. Tyler writes, fragile men are definitely afraid of the squad. It's both hilarious and frightening that they don't even take the time to listen to what they actually stand for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and again, part of what they're frightened of is they're frightened of their own thoughts, and that's gets projected outward. They don't know what to do with that, right? They actually find these powerful, intelligent, attractive women very interesting and exciting and alluring, and that's what they can't handle, right? It's just like, oh my God, what do I do with that? And so, you know, in this whole rubric, the best thing to do with that is then to project their hatred of their own thoughts out onto these people. And it's a very, very powerful form of self-deception.
You know, and this just to like, this instinct, this thing, this kind of complex that Dan's talking about isn't just something that only fascists have. I remember when Sarah Palin was running for vice president, I told someone, well, I think she's attractive. And I told a story about how my brother, Matt, used to work for the state of Alaska and met her. And she's charming, right? So I said that. I didn't like her politics, but I just commented that. And the men around me, like, she's ugly and violent. Like, they just kind of lost it. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. And I get that. I get like you hate her politics. And so then your mind wants to somehow, I hate her totality is like this next thing. And then therefore you have to like talk about her form as in a way that puts her down. Like this happens a lot, like with a lot of people. And it's just not a really good way of engaging things. It's just really harmful to people that are even remotely that look like Sarah Palin or look like Donald Trump or. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Catherine writes, U.S. movie villains are so often coded as either queer or radical questioners of the status quo or both. There's some really interesting repressed desire and shame stuff going on there that connects power and sex.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cassio writes, what about the hatred of Hillary because she didn't cut ties with Bill after all his extramarital affairs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
about that in particular, I have to think about that more, but generally this hatred towards Hillary has got this sort of misogynistic sexualized charge.
Well, yeah. And I also think, I mean, that particular issue You know, I think that it has to do with this sort of question of, hypocrisy and consistency, right? And I, you know, I have always felt that this is a very legitimate question, you know, and this kind of gets to, you know, like, is it okay to say Sarah Palin is attractive, right? Is it okay to say that Bill Clinton is a sexual predator? And, you know, there are millions of Democrats that won't do that and continue to cover for him. And then, right, are mad at Hillary because, you know, she, by sticking with him, in many ways kept her political status. And so, you know, I think that's maybe a slightly different angle or issue. But yeah, I mean, any time that sex and sexuality comes up and sexual behavior or behavior, power-based behavior that gets acted out in relation to sex comes up, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of confusion that happens.
It's recharged.
Yep.
And because we don't talk about sex in direct and clear ways, we're talking sideways about things and not directly about what the issues actually are, because we don't even know how to talk about sex. So it becomes like, oh, she's just a, you know, B word.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I was joking with Dan, like, so I was trying to think of image and stuff, and so I was like, I sure hope people aren't just reading my Google feeds, because I'm looking at, like, bondage, Nazis, AOC sexualized, like all these sorts of things. And so as I'm looking, you know, like, I'm seeing these different people are making stickers on Etsy that call AOC a bitch. Like, there's all kinds of things out there that, like, thankfully I don't see all the time, but I was looking to see. And it's astonishing how much it's like, you can tell, like, people are just wildly grabbing for things because they have category confusion about how to talk about stuff. Nicole writes, yet Trump can have a porn star and brag about harassing naked girls at teen. Yeah, I mean, this is, again, because as odious as Trump is, in some weird twisted way to a fascist mind, he's maintaining and reestablishing proper hierarchical order.
Right.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Karen writes, who would Jesus smack down? Theology is the opposite of the way of Jesus. I tend to think so.
Yeah.
Carol writes, my best advisor is Richard Grannon, as the Spartan life coach discusses how to manage our feelings in an increasingly frightful environment of borderline personality disorders. Funny guy as it can be to deal with controlling and dominating folks. Dancing is good therapy for sensuality in a dangerous world. The dancing that reminds me, like, the first big thing that came out with AOC where conservatives, like Republicans, started sharing that video of her dancing. Look at this. Oh my God. And I'm like, what are you seeing? Because people would share that without context, thinking that it communicated something so clear and obvious that just by sharing a thing, kind of an overtop fun dance, like, there's nothing really that sexual about it at all. It's just attractive young people dancing. And somehow that was like, look at this, tells us all we need to know about this horrible wretch of a person. I don't understand. But again,
all right, so now we've got a practice where we've got a few, couple more comments, and
I started talking
about, we got to go.
We should be able to get them all. Guys, right? The unhoused community I work with is overwhelmingly dudes, and I think that really adds to the normalization of misogyny and sexualized violence. I now start to think that the more we have gender segregation, this is going to be normal. See good old boys clubs. Hashtag Gamergate, etc. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The gaming world, we could talk a lot about that. Yeah.
In the anime world, I see that. Yeah. Ceres writes, the fear-based reactions to the fluid nature of gender and sexuality also stems of the guilty karmic consciousness from the oppressor class who participated in brutal colonization and conquest, which gender policing, family planning, and rape were one of the tools of conquest, destroying kinship and agency.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
There's a lot of guilt in there. Haley writes, Men are generally socialized to take for themselves and satisfy appetites, food, sex, power, or at least that is normal for them to want, while women are taught to repress these appetites in order to take care of others, being objectified for others. And this gendered socialization of desire has been harmful to me as a woman, especially in Christian circles. Men want and women want to be wanted.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's the patriarchy, power dynamic, fascist orientation. Absolutely.
Final words, Camilla. Camilla gets hate for step dance, dance videos as well. Kamala dancing the freedom. Yeah, there's yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of examples of this in politics of women being objectified and made to be objects of scorn. Well.
All right.
We made it through Fascism Friday.
We've done it again. Well, so thanks for joining us, and we will see you on Monday.
Yep. See you next week, everybody.
Have a good weekend. Bye.